Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries, worldwide, daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Why Do You Call Me Lord, Lord? Right after this. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small. But you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, you know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law. When they put into our federal constitution these 17 words at Article 1, Section 10, it says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." But in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away from us, and in 1964, President Johnson took our silver coin out of circulation. Now, in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents have introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they've given us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coin. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country? Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach here in our Mosaic Law School. We conduct that twice a year here at the law school in Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? You know, that's the place to start. It doesn't cost you anything. This may not be for you. If it is, fine. If it isn't, let it lie. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. And best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's for you people that have computers. Those of you that are listening on the air, if you want a copy of it, just call us here, and we'll send one out to you on CD. Hey, have you ever heard people knock on your door or say to you, "Do you know Jesus? Or do you have Jesus in your heart? Or have you given your heart to Jesus today?" You know, they religious people are like that. They're kind of funny. They're good folks. My Aunt Bessie was a religious people, and she was a good folk. But she was kind of funny. And those of us that are kind of irreligious, you know, the longshoremen and truck drivers of America, you know, we kind of look at religious people, you know, out of the corner of our eye, and we kind of wonder, are these people really with it? Are these people really all there? Because in the Bible, Jesus himself made this statement. It's in Luke 6:46. Write this down. You'll love it. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say?" Think about that for a minute. You know, here's these religious people. They run around, and they're talking about Jesus, and they go to church twice a week, and they're doing all these thingies over here. We Americans are religious people. 65% of Americans go to church every Sunday. Did you know that? Only 13% of you Europeans go to church every Sunday. Europeans are not religious people at all. They subscribe to Catholicism or some religion. I mean, they're not irreligious in that regard, but they actually don't practice it. Here in the United States, well, you know, we put our money where our mouth is. And 65%, now that's more than half. That's more people go to church every Sunday than vote. We don't have elections where 65% of the voting public turns out for an election, but we do for Jesus. You know, we want to go to church. We want to get in good with the Lord. Now, Jesus, you know, he had a lot of things to say. Not that religious people ever read very much about what he had to say, but they talk a lot about him, and there's a lot of books written, and people read books about Jesus, and they read books about religion, and they go to church, and they do all these things, and they knock on doors, and they want to get you to change from your religion, whatever it happens to be, and join the Mormons. And so some nice young Mormon guy will be knocking on your door one of these days and inviting you to come to Mormon church, or some Jehovah's Witness, he'll be knocking on your door, and he wants to get you saved. He means well. I'm not really sure, you know, that I want to be saved by Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, you know, with all due respect to you nice people out there that may be Jehovah's Witnesses and you may be Mormons. And I don't have any complaint. You know, you people are entitled to your religious philosophies. And I'm not here to dissuade you or try to get you to give up or quit your church. I just wanted to point out to you that Jesus asked you religious people out there, not us irreligious truck drivers, you know, flirting with lot lizards, you know, on the back 40. But he's asking you religious people, why are you calling me Lord, Lord? And you don't do a damn thing, I tell you. Not a thing. And I'm going to go through a list of things over here. I'm going to show you religious people out there. You don't believe a word that Jesus ever told you. And that always makes us longshoremen out here wonder, what in the hell's going on out there? You know, if I came to you and I said, I want you to vote for Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and maybe Harry Reid, and I want you to vote the straight Democratic ticket, but I want you to give $1,000 to the Republican Central Committee, wouldn't you think I was nuts? Why would I suggest to you that you give money to the Republicans and vote Democratic? See, that's the kind of insanity that goes on in religious circles. You got these people knocking on your door asking you if you know Jesus, but then when you say, well, do you practice anything that Jesus told you to do? They'd say, oh, yeah, we do everything Jesus told us to do. But then when you look at what they actually are doing out there, and Jesus made another observation. He said, you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them by their deeds. Just watch. Look at them. Watch these guys and see what they're doing. Now, here's an example. Here in Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. Let's start right there. One of the first things that you'll learn in religious circles is that the law of God has been abolished and done away with, nailed to the cross with Jesus and taken out of the way. You're under grace and you're saved by faith. And you've heard those stories. I mean, hell, I'm telling you something new. Now, Jesus had something to say. Now, there's a Bible here called a red letter Bible. If you were to go to a Bible bookstore, you know, this is for you truck drivers and you longshoremen out there. If you went to a Bible bookstore and you said, I'd like to get one of those red letter Bibles, they'd sell you one. And in a red letter Bible, every word that Jesus said is in red letters. And then everything else in there is in black and white. And what that does for you, it lets you see exactly what Jesus had to say in a direct quotation or citation. It's like putting it in quotation marks. And then you could read this red letter, just read all the red letters in there, and you'd find out, well, here's what Jesus thought. Here's what Jesus said. Now, in Matthew 5:17, Jesus had something to say about the Ten Commandments. He had something to say about the law of God. He had something to say here about is the law abolished and done away with? And if you had a red letter Bible, here's what you would see in these red letters. It says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, religious people will spend a lot of time, effort, and energy explaining to you how that doesn't mean what it says. I don't need to go to school to have somebody explain to me what that said. I mean, hell, you can read that for yourself. Now, either it means what it says or it doesn't. You don't have to go to cemetery or someplace and have some college professor explain to you what the Bible is telling you. It's written in English. And he said here, think not. No, think not means don't think. You know, that's the old King James, you know, don't think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy them, I came to fulfill them. Furthermore, he went a step further. He said, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments. Let me show you what a least commandment is. If I were to flip back here into the Old Testament, let's just take a look at Leviticus 19, verse 19. Just a simple, straightforward statement here. Leviticus 19:19, and it says, you shall keep my statutes. First of all, he starts off with, you shall keep my statutes. I want you to follow my law. I want you to do what I tell you. You shall not let your cattle gender with a diverse kind. You shall not sow your field with mingled seed, and neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon you. And copy that down. It's Leviticus 19:19. Then go to church next Sunday. Sit there patiently until the preacher gets through with his sermon. And then he'll walk to the back of the church, and then make yourself the last guy that comes out of the church in the greeting line. That gives you a couple of extra minutes to talk to the preacher. And then when you come through the greeting line, you shake his hand and say, that was a wonderful sermon, and thank you very much for it. But I have a question, and I'd like to ask you. In Leviticus 19:19, it says, neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon you. I'm wearing clothes today that are made of mingled fabric. Am I going to go to hell because I'm in violation of that law? And then listen to this guy's answer. Just test him. Because Jesus, he had something to say about this Leviticus 19:19. Now let me show you how he put that. In Matthew 4, verse 4, going back over here again now to the New Testament, you Christians can listen to this because most of what I'm going to tell you now comes from the New Testament here. See, Christians, they divide themselves into New Testament and Old Testament Christians. So I like to tell people who come to me from time to time, they'll say, well, are you a Christian, Mr. Gordon? I tell them, no. No, God, don't get me in that gang. No, I'm not. But in Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said this. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, that's written in red letters again. That's a direct citation right out of Jesus' lips. You know, George Bush said, watch my lips. Okay, well, here's Jesus. He said, watch my lips. when he said man does not live by bread alone, but by every. Boys and girls, do you know what every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God means? Can you just grasp it without anybody explaining to you how many words there are in the mouth of God or giving you some sermon? Just can you read that? Now, to me, every means all of them. Now, the day that he made that statement, Jesus, when he made that statement, not a single word of the New Testament had been written yet. So the only words of God that were written at that moment in time were the 39 books of the Old Testament. Now, here's a clincher. That statement that he made in Matthew 4, verse 4, he repeated in Luke 4, verse 4. He said it twice. It's in the New Testament, Christians. It's right there in front of your eyeballs. And he cited it from the Old Testament. That's the thing that's going to grab you by the gonads. He cited it right out of the Old Testament. He cited it from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. So write that down. It's Matthew 4, 4 and Luke 4, verse 4. Now go to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And here's what Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 says. Here's a direct citation. Came right from Jesus' lips. I mean, fresh, caught off the griddle here. 8, 3. And he says, he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Eternal does man live. Now, I think that he meant to tell us that all of the words of the Old Testament are true, accurate, and correct, and you can take that to the bank. Now, you may not believe that, and I'm not here to get you to believe it. I'm just here as a reporter here to report to you a story. And in the story, Jesus, you know, your Lord and Savior and Master, you know, the good guy that you're always going to church on Wednesday and Friday, you spend a lot of time now listening to somebody telling you about Jesus. So I thought I would take a couple of minutes here and ask you the question, why in the hell are you people calling Jesus Lord, Lord, and you don't do a damn thing he says? Nothing. Nothing that he says do you people actually practice. And if you can show me out of the scripture something that you practice, well, God bless you, partner. You're doing good. But it's going to be rare that you find a Christian now that practices anything that Jesus had to say. But they make a lot of excuses as to why they shouldn't, why they don't, and why they don't have to. But he asked the question, and so I looked at that and I said, yeah, that's a good question. How come you guys don't follow your master here? Now, Democrats follow Barack Obama, and Republicans followed Ronald Reagan. And they believed him, and they believed in him, and they followed those policies, and they sent money into the Republican National Committee, and they sent money into the Democratic National Campaign war chest. And that makes all the sense in the world. I can understand that. But what doesn't make any sense is for some guy to go to church, put money in the offering plate, so that people can go out and knock on other people's doors and make pests of themselves and ask you if you know Jesus, and then they don't do anything that he tells them. Christians do not follow Jesus. And I'm going to show you that. In fact, I just showed you how to test it. Now, there are 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments in the Bible. So if you want to write that down, 759. And I wrote a book here some years back, and it's about 5,000 pages. No, I'll take that back. It's about 1,000 pages. 1,000 pages, called the Mosaic Law. It's a 3-inch binder, and it holds about a ream of paper, and there's about 500 pages to a ream. It's about 3 inches thick. And it's written on both sides. And I copied down all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, and all of the times that they're repeated. And then I counted them all up and showed you the penalties and put the whole thing together. I wrote this. I copied it out of the scripture myself, line by line. And the reason I did that was so that I could find out how much or whether or not these preachers were lying to me. And I was absolutely amazed at all the lies that come out of church. And I'm not sure whether the politicians lie more than the preachers or the preachers lie more than the politicians, but both disciplines are just filled with lies. Lies, half-truths, deceptions. So I thought, let's pick up one here and let's expose it for what it is. So in Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20, remember that section there? He said, now, remember the last part of the section about verse 20, I guess it was. Let me read it to you again here. He says, whosoever shall therefore break one of these least commandments. Now, don't you think that wearing mixed fabric clothes is kind of a least commandment? Something that's not really that important. I mean, you got a law over here that says thou shalt not steal. That's pretty important. You got a law that says you shall do no murder. Killing people is kind of important. Not putting a quarter in the parking meter ain't quite as bad as robbing a bank. You know, the civil law authorities over here, you know, they want to punish you for not putting money in the parking meter, and they'll give you a ticket, you know, parking ticket. But they really get excited if you rob a bank. And so robbing a bank is kind of a major law, and then not paying your parking fee, that's a broken law, but it's not quite as bad. That's kind of a least commandment. Well, now, in the Bible, there are some least commandments also. There are some laws in here, you know, that that aren't quite as important as others. Adultery is a pretty important law and has a penalty that calls for the death penalty. Sodomy is a pretty important law and it calls for the death penalty. Eating pork or eating unclean meat is a pretty important law, but it does not call for the death penalty. God doesn't tell us to take you out and burn you at the stake or to stone you to death because you had a ham sandwich for lunch today, although he told you not to eat pig. So eating pig is a lesser commandment than killing somebody, practicing sodomy, or adultery. You know, just kind of common sense. You know, committing an act of treason against the United States could get you killed. An act of terrorism could get you locked up for a long time, robbing a bank. You know, those are kind of serious things. Now, speeding, that's against the law, but it's a lesser commandment, isn't it? Running a stop sign, well, that's bad. You shouldn't run stop signs, but, you know, if you run a stop sign, they're not going to stone you to death or lock you up in the pen, you know, for 20 years. All right, so we've got these lesser commandments. Now, here's Jesus telling you religious people out there. He said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, ask your preacher next Sunday. Let's put this preacher to the test. Please feet to the fire here. You ask him about Leviticus 19:19. Now, you point out to him. You come to church. Make sure that you're wearing a shirt that you can show him the tag in the collar that says, you know, 80% cotton and 20% nylon or some kind of mixed fabric here. And ask him what he thinks of that. And is there any law in the Bible that he knows of that might prohibit that kind of conduct or activity? Now, I'm not trying to get you people to change your wardrobe or to buy some other kind of clothes or something. I'm not in the clothing business. I'm not trying to sell clothes here. I'm going to point out something, though. Jesus, for some reason that you and I don't know and don't understand, can't figure out, said that he didn't want you to wear clothes that have mixed fabrics in them. I know it's a crazy law. I know it's stupid. I know it's dumb. You and I are smarter than God. Hell, we know that. We knew that in the Garden of Eden when we started sampling the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We knew we were smarter than God coming right out of the chute. But I'm not going to church every Sunday. And I'm not calling Jesus Lord, Lord. And I'm not knocking on people's doors and asking them if they know Jesus today. And I'm not trying to convert you to come to my church or to send me money. See? But I see these religious guys are doing all of those things, and I got to ask the question, well, what in the hell's going on here? You knock on my door, and you ask me if I know Jesus. And then when I ask you, well, do you practice anything that Jesus told you to do, you tell me you don't have to because, you know, it's been abolished and done away with, nailed to the cross with Jesus. And Jesus very plainly said, no, I'm not nailing anything to the cross. In fact, I'll show you a little sample of it here. Let me circle this number one off, and then let me circle off number three here. Let's flip over here to Matthew 19, verse 16. Listen to this story. In Matthew 19, a guy actually came up to the Messiah here. His name really wasn't Jesus, but, you know, for practical purposes, that's the name that everybody hangs on him. So let's stick with what everybody's familiar with. You know, they're always knocking on the door asking you if you know Jesus. They don't ask you if you know Elohim or if they know the Messiah or do you know Yahweh or something like that. But they knock on your doors and they want to convert you to their religious ideology. Or they want money from you or something. Well, here in Matthew 19, verse 16, listen to this story here. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Pretty good question. I mean, you could walk up to the preacher and say, preacher, what do I have to do to go to heaven? That's why people go to church, isn't it? They want to find out how to go to heaven or get saved or whatever it is that they're after or they think that they're supposed to get or want to get or, you know, what kind of reward are you looking for here? What kind of a deal do you think you're going to get out of this? What kind of a reward am I going to get for going to church twice a week and inconveniencing myself by knocking on people's doors and making a fool of myself? What am I going to get for this? So the religious people, they want to get something. They want to go to heaven. They want to get saved, whatever that is. And Jesus said to him, well, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, here's a little collateral matter that we could ask the preacher. After you get through with the mixed fabric, ask him, should I keep the Ten Commandments? And he may actually say, well, yeah, that's a good idea. Then you might ask him, does that mean that I should not practice fornication even with girls that I love? And maybe I shouldn't practice adultery? And I'm pretty sure he'll say, well, yeah, that's probably a pretty good idea. And then I ask him this one. Well, preacher, should I keep the Sabbath day? And when I say Sabbath day, should I keep the Sabbath day on Saturday or Sunday? And I think that guy's going to tell you it doesn't make any difference what the day of the week. You know, some people keep it on Saturday, and some keep it on Friday, and some have a rotating Sabbath, and they keep it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and some people keep it on Sunday, and it doesn't make any difference as long as you honor God. What do I have to do to keep the Sabbath? Well, there was a story in the scripture here in Moses' day, and a guy went out to gather up some sticks, and so they caught him. He was gathering some firewood on Saturday, and they took him to Moses, and he said, well, let me inquire of God, and God said, take him out and stone him to death. And they did. They took him out and they rocked him, killed him, and buried his sorry carcass in the sand. Now, you know, when you tell somebody that today, they kind of look at you like, well, that's really stupid. God, that's really dumb. You know, why would God want to kill people because they're gathering firewood on Saturday? And I'm not here to defend God now. You know, he can defend himself. He's free, white, and 21. Let him answer for himself. I'm just a reporter. I'm just reporting that that's what happened one time when a guy was out picking up sticks on Saturday morning. And I looked at that and I said, you know, this guy must think that Saturday mornings are pretty damn important to take somebody out and kill him. You know, I wouldn't get real mad and want to take somebody out and kill them because they were picking up firewood on Saturday morning, but God did one time. And Jesus subscribed to that. That's the point I'm trying to make. Jesus actually subscribed to that, and he said, you know, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I've never met a Christian that's prepared to practice every word. Have you? I haven't seen any. And I don't think that preacher next Sunday, when you put this guy's feet to the fire, I don't think he's gonna tell you to do that either. I've never seen one do that. Now, there might be one out there. I wouldn't tell you that there isn't, but I haven't met one, and I'm pretty old now. Been around for a long time, listening to these guys. And then I get kind of suspicious. Well, anyway, listen to this. The guy said to him, which? He said, if you'll enter into life, keep the commandments. And so he said, well, which commandments? And so Jesus, listen up here, Christians, people, you know, here's what Jesus said. And he said unto him, which? And Jesus said, you shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, for those of you that may not know where those are located, he said, which commandments? If you'll look in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let me just give you a flavor for it. Remember he said, you shall do no murder. Okay. Well, here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, out here around, verse 17, it says, thou shalt not kill. Now, here's Jesus. He is citing directly from the Old Testament. In Matthew 19, 16 through verse 19, just in three verses here, this guy says, what do I have to do to enter into life, to get eternal life? And Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. And where did Jesus get the idea, thou shalt not kill? He got it from Deuteronomy 5, verse 17. Now, there's 435 of those in the New Testament. And you can listen to this now, Christians, because, see, most Christians, if you tell them something about the Old Testament, say, well, it's abolished and done away with and nailed to the cross with Jesus. Well, no, it doesn't. I don't know where you got that idea, but whoever told you that lied to you. And if you go out and repeat that lie to somebody else, then you're a liar. Then the truth isn't in you. Not that I came to you to tell you that I'm truthful and you can believe me, because I'm a pathological liar, and I'm not here to convince you that I'm right. I just wanted to bring this to your attention so that you could see what Jesus actually said. And I'm at a loss here, because I don't think that you people actually pay much attention to Jesus, and he didn't think so either. Because he asked that question. He says, why are you people calling me Lord, Lord? Why are you people saying, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, and do not the things which I say? Now, one of the things that he said was, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. Those are five. He cited five of the Ten Commandments. All ten of the Ten Commandments are located here in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He cited the Ten Commandments. Now, go ask that preacher, you know, that sky pilot, not Holy Joe over there, what he thinks about the Ten Commandments, and particularly the Fourth Commandment, about keeping the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath. And there's seven things to do. When you keep the Sabbath, there's seven things to do to keep the Sabbath. You know, you can't work on the Sabbath. You can't buy, sell, trade, or do business, do your own pleasure, kindle a fire, or forsake the assembling of yourselves together on the Sabbath. There's seven things there that you need to do in order to keep, practice, or fulfill the Sabbath. Now, do you know of any Christians out there that do that? I've never met one. Have you? You know, I'm just a crummy truck driver. I'm just a crummy plumber. And I'm not out here telling you that I'm doing all these commandments. I'm just asking the question. I'm not telling you people, have you given your heart to Jesus today? I don't give a damn whether you do or don't. I'm just raising the question. I think we're dealing with a bunch of hypocrites here. We're dealing with a bunch of screwballs, a bunch of dinglings over here, running around knocking on my door, pestering me, asking me if I know Jesus. Hell, they don't know Jesus, do they? In fact, there is a statement over here. I think it's in 1 John. Listen to this. But let's see if I can find it here. You got to bear with me because I'm not a professional preacher here. I'm just a plumber. But in 1 John, I think it's 1 John 2, and about verse 3 or 4. Oh, here it is. I did find it. In 1 John, write that down. 1 John chapter 2, it's in the New Testament toward the end. When you get toward the end of the New Testament, you'll see 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then Jude, and then Revelation. Just a little short statement here. But in chapter 2, verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So when somebody comes to you and says, do you know Jesus? Okay, well, Jesus answers the question. Hereby we know that we know him referring to Jesus, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. So when you find somebody and they say, do you know Jesus? Then you ask him, do you keep the commandments? I had a Jehovah's Witness here one time, and I asked him that question. I said, do you practice the Ten Commandments? And he held his hands up, five fingers up, and then four fingers up on the other hand. He tucked his thumb in underneath his four fingers. He held up his two hands to indicate nine. He practices nine commandments. So I said, let me guess. The commandment that you don't practice is the fourth. And he just shook his head up and down. Yep, that's it. And I said, now can you tell me why you don't practice the fourth commandment? He said, well, because if we practice the fourth commandment, we'd be out of step with all of Christianity. Everybody keeps Sunday. So I said, you understand then the Sabbath is on Saturday? Well, of course. All of you JWs out there know that the Sabbath is on Saturday. All of you Catholics out there know that the Sabbath is on Saturday. And then you know that because the Jews keep it on Saturday. And then you come along and you say, well, the Christian Sabbath is on Sunday. Well, I don't deny it. The Christian Sabbath is on Sunday. But has anybody ever asked the question, which Sabbath is God's Sabbath? Which day does God keep? Is it Friday with the Muslims? Is it Saturday with the Jews? Or is it Sunday with the Christians? Or does he keep all three? Well, if he's keeping all three, well then, how in the hell do you reconcile that with killing some guy for picking up sticks on Saturday morning? Huh? Are you really sure that we're getting the straight skinny out of these preachers and these religious people? I ask you. You think about that while I give you your mid-course reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now, be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. Or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about why do you call me Lord, Lord? It's a question that Jesus asked. He said, why do you people call me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say? And I took a look at that and I said, you know, Christians don't follow anything that Jesus told them. Muslims don't either. But then we wouldn't expect a Muslim to follow Jesus, would we? You know, we wouldn't expect Republicans to follow Barack Obama, or we wouldn't expect Nancy Pelosi to sing the accolades of Ronald Reagan, or some other Republican. And that makes all the sense in the world. But when I listen to Christians of whatever stripe, you know, and they talk about Jesus, and they go to church, and they call their churches after Jesus, you know, it's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You know, they hang the label Jesus right there on the title of their church, not just one. I'm not picking on you Mormons, per se. But now, while you Mormons are hanging Jesus' label on your church, do you Mormons actually practice what Jesus practiced? I mean, do you Mormons wear mingled fabrics in your clothes? And if so, why do you do that? Why don't you do what Jesus told you? Do you believe that Jesus intended for you to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? And if not, why do you believe that you don't have to practice every word, but maybe just 99% of it? or 80% or 70. I don't know what percentage you practice, but it looks like to me, just as a plumber, that God expects us to practice 100% of everything that He told us to do. Now, that's what it looks like to me. So if I don't do 100%, which is what my daddy expected. See, when my dad, he worked out on the road. He was a salesman. And he'd leave Monday morning. He didn't come back till Friday night. He's gone. Traveling salesman. He's out on the road and he's out selling. But he'd come back Friday, you know, around 4 o'clock, sometimes 5. You could almost set your clock. When my dad came home on Friday, it'd be between 4 and 5 o'clock, long in there. And he would give me my instructions Sunday night. He'd say, now I want you to water the dog and feed the dog and make your bed and take out the garbage and wash the dishes and mow the grass. And he had all these chores for me to do. God, I hated it there. I lived in the kingdom of Gordon. I hated it. And my dad told me that he was King Edward and my mother was Queen Mildred and I was a crummy subject. He said, I make the laws. Your mother executes the laws and you shut up, sit down, fold your hands and do what you're told. I lived in a tyranny, absolute tyranny. And so he'd come home about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you know, on Friday night, and then he'd start taking account. He wanted to know things like, well, did you water the dog and feed the dog? Did you mow the grass? And did you do this and that and other thing? He expected me to do all these things. He expected me to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of old dad. Did you ever have a parent like that? My Aunt Bessie was like that. Oh, my God. She was a tyrant, Aunt Bessie was. God love her. She had a switch, a willow switch. And sometimes, you know, you'd get left off at Aunt Bessie's, and then you had to mind Aunt Bessie. Well, Aunt Bessie, a couple of times, I'm a fast learner. I'm not stupid. And I wasn't stupid when I was 8 years old either. But one time, dropped me off at Aunt Bessie's, and somehow or another I got it in my head that, Aunt Bessie, you're not my mother, and I don't have to mind you. And that got into my head, and I don't know exactly why it did, but, you know. So my Aunt Bessie grabbed me, and she shook me until my teeth rattled. And then she took my pants down. Now, I was just a little shaver there. I don't think I was 8. And I was still wearing bib overalls. She took my bib overalls down. Now, this exposes the thighs below my butt. And she grabbed her willow switch. And she switched me. She called it switching. And she switched me. Oh, my God, I didn't know you could hurt that bad and still live. Let me tell you, if you got a choice between getting paddled with a paddle, a stick, or a switch, You just take that stick or that paddle every time. I'm experienced now. I can tell you about that switching. Now, there was one other time my Aunt Bessie got after me with that switch. She only had to use it on me twice. And let me tell you that when my Aunt Bessie said, come here, go there, stand up, sit down. Oh, boy, you talk about a dog now that could go through his drills. Well, this dog could go through his drills for Aunt Bessie now. You can see me talking back to Aunt Bessie. All right, now, I point that out to you because, you know, here we're dealing with the creator of the universe, and he's a pretty nice guy, but he's got some pretty healthy penalties that go along with the violation of some of these laws. And he says, hey, I want you to follow my instructions. My dad expected me to follow instructions. My Aunt Bessie expected me to follow instructions. And I would submit to you that this creator, God, this guy here, you know, that reveals himself, calls himself Jesus, I think this guy wants you to do what he tells you. And that's why he asked that question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So I pointed out to you that every law in the Old Testament is contained in the New Testament. Now, I've heard Christians, you know, they can look at you when you tell them that, and they raise an eyebrow and they say, oh. Because that's what this JW said to me. He said, we follow every law of the Old Testament that's written in the New. And so I said, well, did you know that every law in the Old Testament, all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, all 133 topics of scriptural law, are contained in the New Testament? He looked at me with a blank stare. He said, no, they're not all repeated. We only have to follow the New Covenant, not the Old. And I said, well, didn't Jesus tell you to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? And he did. And he said, we do. We follow the New Testament. And I said, the day he made that statement, not a word of the New Testament had been written yet. So it's pretty obvious he wasn't referring to the New Testament. And he cited that directly from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Now, I didn't go knock on that JW's door to give him an education in the Bible. He knocked on my door, and I think I gave him an education in the Bible. Made him mad as hell. Turned me into the Bureau of... what the hell we call that now, was the Bureau of Vocational Education here in Missouri. Turned me in, he did. Can you believe that? They sent me a letter, and they wondered how come I wasn't licensed. I'm running a law school, and you ain't licensed. I'm still running a law school, and I still ain't licensed. So I just wanted to point that out to you. I thought he got kind of mad and nasty and upset. People do that. Christians don't act like Christians. They tell you that you want to behave like a Christian. Oh, I'm not sure you should behave like a Christian. Christians don't always behave very well, especially when Christians are locking people up in barns and then burning them to death. That doesn't sound very Christian to me. Or maybe I got that mixed up. Maybe that is Christian. You know, maybe that's the way Christians behave, running around killing people. But anyway, they try to tell me, you know, that the Christians behave real good. You know, they behave. I'm not quite sure what good or good behavior is. They don't follow anything that you see Jesus telling them. He says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. They don't. They hate their enemies. They hate their neighbor. And they try to cause all kinds of harm to them. Now, this guy knocked on my door, tried to cause me harm by calling the government down on me. Why would you want to do that? Just because I don't want to join your church. Nothing personal here, JWs, but I just want to tuck that one away in my heart. Let me show you this here. Every law in the Old Testament is contained in the New Testament in one of three forms. Now listen to this. Write this down. It's kind of important. Every Old Testament law is contained in the New Testament by a direct quotation, such as Matthew 4, verse 4, which is directly quoted from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. That's one of the three forms that you'll find these laws in the New Testament. Or by an example, such as the muzzle of an ox that we see in 1 Timothy 5, verse 18, or by a reference, such as the fringe statute that we see in Matthew 9, verse 20. So here's the three forms. Get your pencil out here and sharpen it on both ends. Huh? Don't miss this. In Matthew 4, verse 4, it was quoted directly from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. There's 435 of those in the New Testament. Just in case you thought that the New Testament here was just made up of new stuff, Nope, it isn't. It's made up of a whole bunch of old stuff, came right out of the Old Testament. Number two, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 is an example from Deuteronomy 25, verse 4. So you got a direct citation or an example or a reference. You got that down? You got a direct citation and you got an example or you have a reference. Matthew 9, verse 20 is a reference. And it's cited directly from Deuteronomy 22, verse 12. Deuteronomy 22, verse 12. To give you an illustration of how this reference is used, this woman who had been to the medical doctors, probably had leukemia, spent all of her money, used up her insurance, and then when she got all through, she was still sick, just like people are today. They spend all their money on doctors and hospitals, and then they send them home to die after they've taken all their money. Well, this woman had heard about Jesus, and so she saw him one day, and so she got into the crowd, and she came up to Jesus behind him, and she touched the hem of his garment. And there's this big press of people around him, and he said, hang on a second here. Hey, hold, wait. And then everybody stopped, and he said, who touched me? He's looking around. Who touched me? And Peter was standing there, and he says, boss, there's a mob of people around you. I mean, you know, you got 50 people gathered around you, and they all want to touch you, you know, kind of like you're a baseball star, you know, just hit 68 home runs. And as a result of that, you're asking the question, who touched you? And he said, yeah, I felt some power, some virtue. Leave me. And this woman was there, and she said, well, it was me. I did it. And he said, well, why'd you do that? And she said, well, I've had this issue of blood. I'm sick. I've got leukemia. And as a result of that, I heard that if I was to just come up and touch you, I thought maybe I might be healed. And he said, well, sweetheart, your sins are forgiven you, and you've been healed. Now, what that referred to is we are supposed to wear a fringe on our clothes, kind of like an admiral wears a fringe on the four quarters of his garment. So an admiral has this fringe on his epaulets, on his shoulders. You ever seen it? That's what that fringe is. And we were told in Matthew, it's in Deuteronomy 22, verse 12, to wear that fringe. And so on holy days, you should be wearing your fringe. Or when you go to court or things like that, you know, you should have your fringe on. Well, that's a reference. Jesus actually practiced his own law. He was actually practicing the law. He had his fringe on. This woman came up, touched his fringe, and she was healed thereby. I just wanted to point that out. Not that anybody would want to do that today, you know. But then why shouldn't we do that today? Why shouldn't we wear our fringe today? We were told to. It's a part of the law. It's one of those least commandments that we saw here when we opened tonight's program. We said in Matthew 5, 17 through 20, he says, those that violate the least commandment will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Hey, we're going to have a lot of least Christians in the kingdom of heaven, don't you think? And I think we'll start right there with your preacher next Sunday morning when you ask him about Leviticus 19:19 and mingled fabric, and he tells you that, oh, that's an Old Testament law. You don't have to do that anymore. Ask him, when I go to Walmart, would it be all right if I buy mixed fabric socks? Do I have to wear 100% cotton pants? Ask him. I mean, hell, you can read the statute. It's in Leviticus 19:19. Read the statute. And then go test your preacher and see if he practices what he preaches. Now, he's going to be telling you that you should come to church, put your money in the offering plate, and do you know Jesus, and you should follow Jesus and give your heart to Jesus and do all these things. And Jesus asks the question, now, why are you doing this? Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do those things that I instruct? And I'm instructing you here in Matthew 4:4 to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And some of those words that proceeded out of the mouth of God came from the Old Testament. Now let me show you about Jesus in the Old Testament. Remember Jonah and the whale? Yeah, Jonah and the great fish. Well, Jesus in Matthew 12, verse 39 through 41, had a run-in with the Pharisees, and they were giving him some guff. And he said to them, he said, I'm gonna give you a little piece of advice here. They wanted to see a sign from him. And they said, hey, we would see a sign from you. We want you to prove to us that you're God. We want you to stand the Empire State Building on its TV antenna for 30 minutes so that we can see that on CNN, and then we'll believe that you're God. And he told them, he said, that's a crock of BS. He said, we're going to give you a sign. And he cited the sign of Jonah. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the great fish, he said, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, or the heart of the earth. And evidently, Jesus did not know that Jonah and the whale was a fairy tale. I mean, come on. You guys out there, you do not believe in Jonah being swallowed by a fish and then vomited out on the beach, do you? I mean, come on. Be scientific. Let's be real, you Christians out there. You do not believe that, do you? I just wanted to show you how naive Jesus was. He believed it, or at least he said he did. And then he cited from it. He said, you know, just like Jonah was 3 days in the belly of this fish, so shall I be 3 days in the heart of the earth. Can you believe that? Huh? You mull that one over until tomorrow night, huh? Now, I'm out of time, and I've got to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on Compact Disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.